This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Thanks to Toby for the update. It was sponsored by IT Cadre. I'm wearing my IT Cadre hoodie that they sent us.
Mine is in the laundry. It'll be next week part of the rotation. So let's not wear it the same day.
We could. It could be a fun activity.
Are you going to double now? You wearing it Monday?
Probably not. I alternate between this and cap
sweater. Your cap sweater? Okay.
But I got to say, this is as comfortable a sweatshirt as I've ever had.
It's rough and tumble on the outside. And I kind of went, uh-oh, am I in for something bad? Could not be more comfortable inside.
The inside, it hits different.
It is great.
I don't go full Clary where I wear hoodies without undershirts. But I could definitely wear this one without an undershirt. I would never do that. Just not in my DNA. I can't make it happen. I also don't have the body to do it.
I don't think it's a body question. Is it a body question?
It's a little bit of a body question. You don't want to be the guy who's, wearing
a sweatshirt with no undershirt?
Yeah, showing some chest and moob or whatever they call those, or just kind of sitting there.
Yeah, well, we both of us have the bearskin rug up top, too, so that's kind of tough not to hide that.
There is a lot of rug up top for your boy. All right, let's pay off our poll of the day here, which is presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, or commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. We asked you guys today about yesterday's championship game in the Four Nations Tourney and whether or not it was going to be a factor for the remainder of the season in elevating the National Hockey League. Will the TV ratings be up? Will the interest climb? Right around 46% of you said yes, that the interest in hockey will carry over to the NHL season. 54% of you said no. Pretty close poll and probably fair. I think it's a good debate. I mean, we talked about it at the start of the show. I think it'll be good for hockey. There will be some carryover, but it's not going to be massive. By the way, the numbers, if you guys didn't hear them, 9 million people over that, but over 9 million people in America watched the game last night, over 16 million between the U.S. and Canada.
That's incredible. That number is awesome, and I caught my shot there, so that'd be well over 8, 9. I said you might even approach 10 at times, and it sounds like that's what happened. One cool thing I want to share with you guys, you could win an ultimate tournament trip to Las Vegas just by listening to 106.7 The Fan. Win a trip for you and 3 friends during the first 2 rounds of the college basketball championships. Flights, hotel, and $20,000 in spending money. Just download the free Odyssey app. Listen to The Fan for at least 1 hour. Listen tomorrow for at least another hour for another entry. It's Odyssey's Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. For more info, go to odyssey.com/slamdunk.
All right, we'll hit the headlines before we get out of here at 6:30, but we're talking about the challenge system being implemented this spring in Major League Baseball. Looks like maybe in line, if things go smoothly, for full implementation next regular season. Joe is in Waldorf on Grant and Danny. Joe, what do you think?
Well, I'm not a big fan of it. My feeling is something such as this should improve overall ball and strike calling. And this doesn't do that. All that it does is create a situation where 2 times a game, their ineptitude gets highlighted in broadcast. I mean,
you're forgetting the part where the call gets overturned and the correct call now affects the game in the correct way.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is they miss 50 ball and strike calls a game. You know, maybe
it's actually not that many. I mean, I'm not arguing with you.
It depends on your ump.
I'm going to let you go. But, I mean, by and large, it's like, it's actually more like 10 or 12 a game, you know, is a high number.
They miss 10 or 12. I'm a proponent of technology and you know, not even having a guy behind the plate other than to watch, you know, people try to slide into home plate. And to me, this just, you know, for the umpires, it just highlights, you know, that they make mistakes and they know they make mistakes. So why not eliminate mistakes and just go all the way in with technology?
Oh, so you're saying,
well, that's
where
we're headed. Yeah, but we need to drag the Ryans kicking and streaming along. Like
you can't go 0 to 100.
Right.
We got to drive 45 first on the shoulder.
Now, I would. You know, remember those things that used to be on like ESPN2 late at night, like the drag racing with the afterburner type cars, and they'd go so fast you'd have a parachute come out?
Of course.
I would do that with this. Like, I would say your job as home plate umpire is to report what the computer told you. From here on out forever, you'll call somebody safer out at home plate, and I'll probably have to overturn that in a second.
And
too.
That technology's existed for years.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I ever saw the tech, Eric Burns was involved in helping this technology, the former major league player, and he was on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, and it's probably been almost 10 years ago. And he was umpiring a game in like some independent league, and he had an earpiece in where some guy was sitting in the press box looking at the chipped data and telling him ball or strike. And no one even knew the entire game that he wasn't calling it in real time because of how fast it went from ball crossing plate to the button being touched above him that buzzed down to him to say ball or strike in his ear, and then he would call it, and it was seamless. Now, they have used that in the minor leagues as well, but I guess to the caller's point, like, why do it this way? AAA last year did an every other week simulation, and I've interviewed so many players about this, where they would go for a week fully automated. They'd go for a week with the challenge system, a week fully automated. And what came out of it was that the players, mostly, the coaches, mostly, people in baseball, mostly, liked this one better. They thought that this was better because you get some of the crap that I don't care about that Ryan wants, which is like the human element and the umpire behind the plate and the relationship between pitcher and catcher and umpire and all that stuff. It doesn't all go away. The framing of the catcher, you're not, you know, the union likes this better too because you're not taking away part of a job. And, you know, if you're K-Bert Ruiz, a big part of what you do doesn't, you know, get taken off your plate, so to speak. But you still have the implementation of the technology and the ability to not have the game completely screwed up in a huge spot, which is really what we're looking for. In that bases-loaded situation in the seventh inning when the 3-0 count is called a strike and then I'm out two pitches later, but I should have walked in a run, that goes away now. And so they feel like this is the happy medium where everyone can kind of have more of what they want.
I mean, how many times has your team, if you're a baseball fan, been hosed where a pitch is obviously strike three, the count continues, then the guy homers? The San Diego Padres get to the World Series. Tino Martinez is out. That guy is out. I think it's Chuck Finley throws a fastball at the knees. Martinez is frozen. He's out, except umpire calls it a ball. Second later, upper tank at Yankee Stadium. Yankees going to win. World Series ends up becoming a boat race. The Padres have that game in hand. I just remember that because I was watching in my dorm screaming at the television. What if there was a recourse?
What if
there's a fix?
Not to go in on our guy Rhino, but one of the things he had said last segment we never even addressed was he's like, when have you ever seen a game decided by dot? It happens all the time. Every single game, every single inning, every single at bat is altered by calls. And at a, you know, I don't know what the percentage would be overall, but let's say a 10 or 12 or whatever percent clip, those calls could be wrong. Watch one playoff game. Like, let's do it. This would be a fun exercise. We'll get some wings. We'll meet up at, you want to do it at your apartment or my house. We'll watch one playoff game from last year, and let's see how many times a screwed up call changed the complexion of an inning in a playoff game. Newsflash, it's going to be every playoff game and most innings. Let's go to Michael in Alexandria. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
As I've been paying attention and listening to you guys, I have a lot of mixed thoughts. I think this generally will be a good thing, as long as it's quick and as long as it's fast. And more importantly, I hope this forces the other leagues, mainly the NFL, to speed up the reviews. I absolutely cannot stand when I'm sitting in my living room
100%.
And I can tell it's a catch or not a catch in 3 seconds, and then we go to a 3-minute commercial.
100% agree. It is my number one gripe right now about replay. It's tied for two right at the top, but that is the biggest one, where if we can't tell after minutes, then it means you can't tell. Like, I'm sorry about that. If there's no better angle, then you have to live with it. I'm willing to live where in a place where things didn't happen or they did. I can deal with the fact that we can't get it perfect. Some people can't. If they go, if any technology is involved and it's not perfect, then we have to abandon it. I will not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, to me, the delay is infuriating and ridiculous. I'm 100% with you. As long as it's efficient, and by the way, this is, I think it can be even more efficient. I think it should take a microsecond, right? Where you tap your helmet, the umpire taps his helmet, they kick it up to the big board, they show it in real time, you're back in the box. That what I just said took about 10 seconds. That's how long it should take.
I know I'm in the minority on this. I don't really care about time as much. Like, your annoyance with replay. If I could touch a button and fix it, I don't want the managers holding their hand up for the extra 45 seconds either. And there are certainly a couple of times a year where I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? This has been 6 minutes or, mm-hmm. 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we doing? I think that is more an issue in people's minds than it actually isn't in execution. An extra 30 seconds, an extra minute, even 2 minutes here or there. We've shortened the games. I'm there anyway. Some of these games are flying by. I'm barely getting my money's worth as it is because the 9 innings are happening and in an hour and 59 minutes. Like, a challenge of a minute or two while I'm sitting there eating my hot dog in section 317 really does not anger me in any way. I know I'm in the minority on that. But yes, efficiency in all things should be something that we crave and care about. And the more efficient we can make things, the better. And I think that's one of the things people will like about this a lot, honestly, is how quickly that it happens. In addition to, and I know I've over-talked about this, but the interactive nature of this is very fun, more so than you will think, with seeing the call. Because it's kind of like the umpire at that point getting to flex on you or not. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, are you right? You just burned 50% of your team's opportunity today to correct this guy. You better be right.
It turns out it was a strike, dude.
And there's some strategy to it as well. Let's go to Louis in Bethesda. What's up, Luis? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good. So, very quickly, I very much agree with you guys. But when I first called in, I was going to disagree and say that you take away an aspect of the game, which is, you know, an umpire's strike zone is inside, right? So then hitters know that, yeah, he's got an inside strike zone. And then you get rid of that piece where he throws, you know, a ball that should be a strike outside, and then you get the fight. But then Grant says, it's only 2%. It's only two calls. And you're absolutely right on that. You don't get rid of that aspect of the game. And I'm all for this. If there's a critical call, you know, make it. But you still keep that strategic aspect of the game.
And it's kind of why, yeah, honestly, Luis, I think this is perfect, to your point. Like, we used to have Max Scherzer on our show every week for years when he was winning his Cy Young Awards here in D.C. And I remember you and I talking to him about this. If we talked to him about it once, we talked to him about it 20 times. And his point was always, there is this romanticism for him to, like, his rapport with the umpire. And the fact that the strike zone is this nebulous thing game in and game out, and the idea that I'm working with that guy and he's giving me a ball off the plate because I'm able to locate every pitch, like, he doesn't want to lose that. He loves that. You're still getting some of that. You don't lose all of that. Now, I personally, me and Max will disagree, I'm not a pitcher on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. I want the calls right. I want a uniform strike zone. I think that's better. I don't want a nebulous end zone that changes all the time based on the referee and his relationship.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the 90s highlights of Greg Maddux, and Eric Gregg is ringing people up when he and Tom Glavine are pitching in the other batter's box. I don't want any of that.
No.
So, I mean, I can't. The thing that hitters, and to the old way
but
of doing
just to
it.
Finish
oh,
the
sorry,
point
please.
Really
yeah,
quick.
Go ahead.
No, you're good. The point I'm making, though, is you still get what Max wants at a really high rate, except the biggest moments of the game, If you screw me over, I get to say, uh-uh, sorry, umpire, you're wrong about this one.
So as a, you know, again, I obviously wasn't close to the major leagues, but yeah, pretty decent career in my own right. And the thing that every hitter wants, and every player wants on the field, whatever, is consistency. If it's a strike for the first pitch of the game, it needs to be a strike in the bottom of the ninth with two outs and the bases juiced. And vice versa. Balls are balls, strikes are strikes. The problem is that no two pitches are identical, no two situations are identical, and it drives you crazy when the time-honored things, like the leadoff hitter sees seven pitches, comes back to the dugout. What's he got? What's the umpire calling? Hey, he's calling two balls off the outside corner, so you better be ready for that. Or he's calling three balls off. And so now you count on that, you deliver it, and you don't get the call this time, whether it's, you know, for your team or the other team's furious. You can eliminate so much of that. And what's so challenging about this is, again, this game was invented when guys couldn't do what they can do now. There were no labs. There were no pressure plates. There was no, you need to supinate your pronation and hip drive your back shoulder into the a prone position to now every dude that has ever picked up a baseball throws 100 bleeping miles an hour. This is too hard. This is too much. There were no computers when this thing was invented, right? And that has changed and morphed things to such a high degree, and there's so much at stake that I know it's not perfect. There's no perfect system. And we shouldn't have that. Your precious human element is just another word for mistakes. Let's try to lower the mistakes and acknowledge how hard this is instead of just say, oh, well, it's two balls off the outside corner. This was a strike this inning, but it won't be next inning. To flip a coin, there's a reason we don't blindfold the umpires. We're trying to get it right. Let's get it more right.
Earlier, a caller asked, how does this fix the umpires? Well, or make them better, I guess was his phrase. It doesn't. It fixes their worst calls in the biggest moments, hopefully. But I would also say if routinely we are seeing your calls get overturned, there's going to be a little more motivation for you to get it right. There's going to be a little more exactness to how you operate. You're going to be a little bit more pinpoint maybe when 40,000 people at a time are seeing you get got.
Do you remember, and we'll jump to the calls in a second. Do you remember when Quest-Tech first came into play?
Of course.
Like it was kind of the genesis of this, right? There were Quest-Tech ballparks and there were not. The umpires threw a bleeping fit. They couldn't stand it. They hated being at Quest-Tech parks. It made them question themselves. Well, you know what happened? They had to get right. There's no more catcher sets up a foot outside, the mitt gets hit, and you're ringing guys up. That crap ended.
How does this make an umpire better was the question. Well, the answer is it adds to accountability.
Yeah, you get overturned a bunch of times. Maybe you wise up and figure out, hey, that's down or that's up or that actually is there.
Instead of me saying that should have been a ball, now we actually know, yep, in fact, it should have been, and it is now. And the umpire has to kind of wear that in front of everybody. Let's go to Jeffrey in Fairfax. What's up?
Hey there.
Hey, buddy.
So I think the best replay system, in my opinion, in sports is in tennis.
Tennis.
Where it's done, you know, real time. Everyone sees it, the crowd, the umps, the chair ump, the players. There's no gray area. The ball's either in or out. And, you know, you don't have a group of refs back in New York City huddled over a TV monitor trying to determine whether the ball's in or out. So if this baseball system is anything similar to that, then I'd be absolutely for it. I think it's great. Tennis, it takes maybe 5 to 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You get the call right, then you move on. I don't see why they can't do that in baseball.
And I don't, when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know this, but I would just imagine, because it would seem so stupid and so ridiculous. Was there a fight in tennis about this? Like, oh, let's not make sure that we know exactly where the ball landed. Let's not take the power away from the dude in the lifeguard chair. I don't think that's what they were yelling or screaming about in tennis. This idea that the umpires are above reproach or such an important part of the... We shouldn't know them. You know, the only reason we know NFL officials is if they're announcing the penalties and they've got big muscles at hockey league. But the back judge, you don't know the back judges. You don't know the side judges in the league. You don't know the dude calling the holding, the umpire. You don't need to. This idea that, like, and they feel this way, that they're like, well, just like the players, man, we're a big part of this. You're there to arbit. No one is there for you, trust me, except for your family members. Chris in Hyattsville, what's good?
What's up, gentlemen? I think you guys know my position on this. I'm in favor of having a few challenges a game, but I'm not looking forward to a future of entirely automated strike zones. Not because I care so much about job protection for umpires or their value or their worth. I enjoy the element of the game where a pitcher is rewarded for being an excellent pitcher and hitting his spots. And I feel like that is becoming a lost part of the game. I mean, you guys want accuracy above all things else. Sure, I would love it to be accurate, but I miss variability and nuance and seeing different types of players. And I think we're moving to a state where everybody just becomes these like automatons.
Appreciate you, buddy.
I think it's actually a smart point. And the pitching variance thing. In other words, a guy like Greg Maddux wouldn't come up to the bigs now. You know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't happen because you throw 100, then we're wasting time. And pitch to contact is pretty much not a thing at this stage. There used to be a million ways to get people out, but the game has morphed and evolved. I do think it'll swing back at some point. So the thing that I disagree with Chris about, just in a small spot there, is pitchers, I got news, are still going to need to hit their spots. Pitchers are still going to need to have great command.
Well, my point was going to be, I still need you to paint on the black.
Yeah.
You still got to hit the mitt. The mitt just has to be over the plate now.
You got to have quality strikes. So you could still have, you know, just the edge of the ball touching part of the strike zone. That's still the most valuable pitch you can have.
I think that argument is good, though, because while I disagree with him, like we're not cut from the same cloth on how we view it, his point's correct if he's saying, I think it will be harder for Paolo Espino to be a major leaguer when you have to throw the ball over the plate. That's a fact, Jack. I mean, for guys that lack some of the stuff, like, yes, you'll need a little more velocity and a little bit more stuff plus. You're going to need to get more swings and misses and whiffs if you've got to be over the plate than when you used to be able to not ever have to throw the ball over the plate and just locate, quote-unquote, like, pitchability, where you and the umpire were locked in. You were talking about Maddux. No, Maddux didn't have to throw strikes.
Right.
He could just stay 4 inches off the plate all night and just paint, and the umpire would give it to him. But, yeah, you're going to need to have a little bit more stuff. I'm okay with that because I like velocity, and I like swings and misses, and I like stuff. But it is a good point, and there were a lot of good calls on that. Appreciate the feedback. Always enjoy when we get to have a conversation with like that with you guys ahead of the start of the baseball season. A couple of headlines we should hit on the way out from today in sports, just in case you guys are hopping in the car leaving work. The Jaguars have finally picked their general manager. They have gone to the Rams organization and tapped James Gladstone, who was one of the guys responsible for drafting when the Rams bleeped those picks.
Yeah, when they didn't draft much.
Or putting their draft board together. But he has had some success.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lengthy GM search, by the way. Remember, they originally kept their GM, hired Liam Cohen, only after he said, I don't want to work with that guy, so they fired him. Then Liam Cohen, the head coach, was already there, and then they had to go find someone to work with. Tony Boselli, who they named, I think, like the president or football, whatever he is, and Liam Cohen. So it's a very weird way they went about it. The Jaguars are awesome at doing things in a backwards way, and this definitely qualifies.
Yeah, that's one of those dysfunctional organizational type things. It's not exactly analogous to the old, we've got our offensive coordinator, now who wants to be the head coach, Jim Zorn situation.
Pretty close.
But it's close. It's closer to that than it is normal.
The Yankees have changed one of their oldest, longest, most hated rules. 50-plus years in the making, Hal Steinbrenner releasing a statement today saying that the Yankees would allow facial hair. Players, for the first time in decades, will be allowed to grow beards, well-manicured beards, basically tight to the cheek. I don't know how the parameters are going to work. Are you going to be inspected like an Army officer?
Seriously, you're going to walk up with like a four guard and say, you know what, it's a little loose.
But they came around.
Yeah. One of those things
I
where...
I think they just got beat into submission.
Yeah, right? I think enough people trolled them, whatever.
Everyone's like, you guys are mean. This is ridiculous. It's 2025.
They're like, it doesn't... We'll just pay them millions of dollars and they have like one rule? Okay, fine. You're right. Sorry, our bad. We're the bad guys. Like, oh, I hate us.
Overtime is coming up next with Toby Altizer. Toby worked the Tovertime hat trick today.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else has done one of these, I don't think. The Toby Altizer hat trick, Gordie Howe style. So that's a fight, a goal, and an assist. He worked our show.
Yes.
Production. He did the updates, and now he's going to host Overtime. I think the second straight day. Of the Toby Altizer hat trick.
Wow.
So we're going to name that after him. If anybody else pulls it off in station history, they'll be accomplishing the Altizer. What do you have on Overtime tonight?
Yeah, so we're going to hit every sport imaginable. We're going to talk hockey at 6:30. We're going to get into football at 7 o'clock. I want to take a look at PFF's top 101 players. Also want to talk a little sports memorabilia. We'll get that in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to dive into some NBA at 8 o'clock and even some maybe balls and strikes like you guys were just talking about at 9 o'clock.
Sites for all of that. What about Bryce Harper getting a tattoo of the Philly Fanatic?
Far off the radar.
That will not make your run.
So down. Far off the radar.
Danny, I'm surprised you didn't want to talk about that today.
I know. I'm still busy stewing about this whole U.S.-Canada thing. With them coming in second to the Canadians. But yeah, that's definitely on my radar. I noticed that, and I thought it was so genuine.
I just realized it was Friday, by the way. Just hit me.
Yeah.
I was about to say we're back at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
You're welcome to.
Friday.
You won't do it.
No, well, Monday works.
You won't
for
do
me.
A show at 2 tomorrow.
For Darius, Ryan, and Toby, Grant, and Danny saying so long. We will see you on Monday. Back at it at 2 o'clock on The Fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.